As you see from the readings today, both in the Perashah, the Half Torah, and the Brit Hadashah, there's a lot of material, some of which we touched briefly in those few drashas. But the message today that has been given to us to be shared by the Lord is Adonai's greatness is in our humility. And I pray that the Lord will give me the words to speak this message and that it will come clearly to your hearts. Recently, I have contemplated on times that we engage in spiritual battles. There have been times when I knew that I was well beyond myself, well above my head, and that the battle could not be won simply by my wit or physical strength. One such example years ago, I was accused of being the cause of an accident, and this was an accident that could have taken my life. I was cut off abruptly, and the car that I was driving flipped. After crawling out the back seat window and being the one to call for the ambulance, the fire truck, I was in for quite a shock. The driver involved in the accident was en route to a luncheon with her friend, who was a second driver in a car just behind both of us, and together they concocted a story which distorted the details, putting all blame on myself. They subpoenaed me to court, which was a very cold and dark place. A fellow brother of faith encouraged me, and I gave the battle to the Lord. Another brother, who even came to court to support me, suggested I would have made a good lawyer afterwards. I think he was just being very nice. This was not my doing, Kehila, for I was a nervous little worm, literally in my eyes. And I could only imagine what I looked like to those in the court. Let's listen to what God has to say to encourage us when we are amongst the wolves. Just as David found himself surrounded by many actual wolves that would shred him apart, he trusted on Adonai, his shield, as we read in Psalms 18, 32 through 35. In the NIV, they are translated as, "It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet, so that my ankles do not give way." In a direct translation of the Hebrew scriptures, it sounds little differently. The God who girds me with strength and made my way perfect, who straightened my feet like the hinds and stood upon my heights, who trained my hands for battle so that a copper bow might bend by my arms. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has sustained me. Your humility has made me great. Abba, Father, thank you for the opportunity to listen to your message for us. Thank you for the opportunity to uncover more about you through the commands that you have given us. I pray, Abba, the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God, will be our primary teacher today, leading us in truth and love, closer to an understanding of the character of our loving Abba. When I read Psalms 18 from the Tanakh, it is as if I had read it for the first time. What an epiphany was presented to me. Here is the very messianic prophecy that I had read from the New International Version, the New American Standard, or the New King James translations, and I might have missed. Listen to the verse 35 again. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has sustained me, and your humility made me great. Let's look at this a little more closely and make the obvious really stand out. You have given me the shield of your salvation. In Hebrew, the word salvation is Yeshua. We know this. We know our great God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, came to earth in the form of a human man and became our visible shield of salvation. The term shield of our salvation is often used within Tanakh. We also see it within the Amidah blessings, number 18, when we read, "You are the rock of our lives, the shield of our salvation through every generation." We also read in blessing 15, "Speedily cause the offspring of your servant David to flourish, and let him be exalted by your saving power. For we wait all day long for your salvation." I find it interesting that the phrases "your servant" and "for we wait all day long for your salvation" are missing from one of the mainly used versions of the traditional Jewish Amidah. Was that deliberate? An attempt to deny our brethren the truth of Yeshua? Very clearly, the phrase "the offspring of your servant David" refers to what the rabbis call Mashiach ben Yosef, the suffering servant, and Mashiach ben David, the mighty king, while the phrase "for we wait all day long for your salvation" leads us to Yeshua. Some siddurim or daily prayer books have changed this phrase to "umetzavim l'yeshua," and "we hope for salvation." Another of the rabbis frequently quoted by our Jewish brethren is Chofetz Chaim, or Rabbi Israel Meir Kagan, who enjoyed living within the 19th and 20th centuries. He was fond of saying, if we were really waiting for Mashiach with all of our hearts and actions, then he would appear suddenly. But the problem is that we say one thing with our mouths, while our hearts, we are not really looking forward to his arrival. Of course, this traditional Jewish message errs in that Yeshua HaMashiach won't come when we decide, but when God decides. However, to me, this quotation claims our true belief does not match up with our words, our espoused belief. In other words, we don't walk our talk. Now, is this true? Is it true we profess one thing with our mouths while believing another in our hearts? Frankly, I don't believe this is necessarily so. To be more accurate, the problem lies in our lack of understanding who Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh really is from a biblical perspective. Before I delve into this, let's first review the main facts of Jehovah's moral sojourn on earth as prophesied and recorded in Scripture. Micah 5:1 told us that he was to be born in Bethlehem. He was to be rejected by the Jewish leadership. In Psalm 2:2, he was to die and be resurrected in Isaiah 52:13 and 53:12 and Daniel 12:2. Return to defeat the enemies of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and in so doing be identified by his people through his piercings, Zechariah chapter 12. And most importantly, as we read in Matthew 23:29, "For I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There are two streams of messianic thought occurring here. A traditional Jewish stream emphasizing works righteousness, and a traditional Christian theme stressing grace and obedience to God's commands. From the perspective of the traditional Jew, Messiah will be a human being descended from the line of David, therefore of the house of Judea. There is a list of qualifications for the traditional Jewish Messiah, which includes he will be a thoroughly righteous person, as we read in Isaiah 11:5. Righteousness and faithfulness will be the belt around his waist. He will inspire all humanity, beginning with the Jewish people, to return to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh without reservation. Found in Isaiah 11:10. "On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious." His leadership will be powerful and charismatic, and he will lead by example, as we also read in Isaiah 11:3-5. "His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. For he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, he will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears, but he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed of the land. He will strike the land with the discipline from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with the command of his lips. He will have what is referred to as master soul. In spiritual Judaism, and I'll just share this, known as Kabbalah, there are five levels to the soul, namely the nefesh, the general soul root of the nation of Israel, represented by King David. There is the ruach, which is the spiritual soul, represented by the prophet Elijah. Neshama, understanding, represented by Moshe. Chaya, ideal primordial state of bliss, represented by Adam and Hava before the fall. And Yechada, Messiah. He will demand a preeminent position in the world, and he will be given that by the world, as seen in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10. The nations will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. He will cause the return of the chosen people to Israel, prophesied in Ezekiel 34, 13. I will bring them out from the peoples, gather them from the countries, and bring them into their own land. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the land. He will rebuild the temple of Jerusalem, as discussed in Talmud. And then he will be a human being and not a god. The last descriptor has been gleaned from Isaiah 11:1. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Bear in mind, this is through the Kabbalah. This is what the Jewish people believe. What I just shared, all those 8 points. How could our people have gotten it so wrong? There have been so many unsaved Jews practicing Judaism unfailingly, steeped in generation after generation of tradition. Yet, they are caught in a stagnant pond. Such could also be said of those stuck within the religion of Christianity. Bear in mind, I said religion. It's so much more than just religion. And then it hit me. Evidence seems to be clear. There are deliberate attempts to hide the truth of Yeshua and keep everyone in the dark about his saving truth. Yes, even towards our unsaved Jewish brothers and sisters. For example, let's look at the Musaf prayer, the traditional morning prayers. These were developed by the rabbis in the 7th century CE. Listen to a section of the Musaf. A righteous anointed is departed from us. Horror hath seized us, and we have none to justify us. He hath borne the yoke of our iniquities and our transgressions, and was wounded because of our transgressions. He beareth our sins on his shoulder, that he might find pardon for our iniquities. We shall be healed by his wound. At the time of the Eternal, we'll create him, the Messiah, as a new creature. This prayer was derived from Isaiah 53. I'm sure you heard the truth within it, which the prophet clearly speaks of, Yeshua. Only in the Middle Ages, following the Crusades, did Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzhaki, change the implications of the suffering servant from Mashiach to the nation of Israel. Prior to the Crusades, the rabbis accepted that Isaiah 53 did indeed speak of the Messiah. Using just one piece of evidence alone clearly indicates the early rabbis knew Yeshua would come to remove the sins of the world. Yet, when the marauding Christians of the Crusades slaughtered our people so viciously, they changed this obvious connection due to their understandable horror resulting from the appalling behavior of the followers of the Messiah. But these are the tactics of the enemy, remember, as he has and continues to attempt to deceive through false messiahs, through false gospels, and through false Christians, those who are more power-hungry than spiritually speaking. Verse 34 of Psalms 18 reads, "He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze." Yes, beloved, we are in the midst of a battle, and we rely on Adonai not to only equip us, but to train us as well. Do we clearly understand what this means? Let me explain. There is no question about Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's ability to defeat Satan and his minions. That we know. He has that power, so if he is capable, why doesn't he do that? Let's return to the word coming to us from the book of James, specifically chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? And then in verse 20, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Salvation leads to good deeds. This is the underlying message from James. Sometimes those good deeds involve our becoming his warriors in spiritual warfare. But why does Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh want us to involve ourselves in a battle against the enemy? As we engage the enemy in this spiritual battle for the soul of humanity, our faith in Yeshua increases. There is a very supernatural connection between our stepping out on the front lines of the battle and are developing spiritual maturity. I'll say that again. There is a very supernatural connection between our stepping out onto the front lines of the battle and our developing spiritual maturity. And what does this spiritual maturity look like? Like Yeshua. The more spiritually mature we become, the more we take on the likeness of our Messiah. But why do we do this through spiritual warfare? Remember what it was like for you as a child when you ventured into the world outside the cocoon of your parental love. Do you remember what it felt like when you ran and tripped, scraping your knees the first, the second, and the third time until you finally laughed it off and continued running down the street? Do you also remember what it was like learning to ride your bike and continually falling on the first, the second, and yes, the third time as well? Soon the crying stopped and you sloughed it off as you found yourself climbing back onto your bike to join the other kids. Probably at that point was when you say goodbye to Dad for a while. This is how we each learn to endure pain and suffered as children, to better be prepared and to prepare us as adults to endure pain and suffering. We've all known adults who have been prevented from learning to endure pain by overindulgent parents. These children expected to receive sympathy for every negative event in their lives and have grown into adults who perceive themselves as entitled. In other words, they are owed. A similar process occurs spiritually. As we engage in spiritual warfare, we are transformed from the inside out. Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God, works within us, acting within our weakness, to mold us into the likeness of Yeshua. Listen to the words of Rabbi Shaul from 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, as being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." Who is the Spirit? Part of the Spirit's support in our growth process occurs when we pray to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in our moment of greatest need. Once again, let's hear from Rav Shaul in Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. When we attempt out onto the battlefield, we are tried and tested, a forging process that makes like the forging of steel, makes us stronger than the adversity. In taking that initial step of faith, we develop a deeper sense of trust in Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, depending on Him more and more and on ourselves less and less. We know, though, Adonai will not allow us to suffer more than we can possibly bear. Let's hear once more from Rabbi Shaul in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And the results of the battle are much greater than we could ever imagine, as we are told by James 1:2. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that Adonai has promised to those who love Him. That one bears repeating. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, not just getting into the test, not running through the journey, but making it to the end, having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that Adonai has promised to those who love Him. Beloved, remember, we engage in this battle with the enemy from a position of victory, not from a position of uncertainty. We know our victory was secured when Yeshua defeated the enemy while being our curse on that wretched tree. As we step out in trust, Emunah, we know our redemption is secured. The enemy will always try to deceive us into thinking that we are doing not enough. Isn't that the age old, that we are not doing enough? Have you ever thought that yourself? That you and I will never satisfy Yeshua. Can you hear those lies? Listen once more to Rav Shaul's reassuring words. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposited guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's possession to the praise of His glory. And that's found in Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Hallelujah! We know our redemption is secure. Havarim, do not lose sight of this. The strength of the enemy is in yours, in mine, in our being deceived, blinding us to the truth that sets us free. It is not what we do that guarantees our salvation. Rather, it is in accepting what Yeshua, our Savior, has already done. The battle is won, as I already said. It is over. His very words, it is finished. The next time you feel defeated, remember this, the battle is already won. Take comfort knowing that there is victory in serving the King of Kings. We are children of God, Havarim. Even though we journey through this world, we live for the kingdom of God. Now listen to my attempt at the words of a Hebrew song. I'll be saying one verse of it, but it's a part of the song of Moses. Ozi Vizimratya Fai Hili Liushua Izu Vinigor Ya Gabor Milchama. And I'm sorry if I butchered that a bit. In English it says, my strength, Ozi Vitzmrat Ya. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Oh, that our spirit would say those words, especially that when we are in times of fear and weakness, times when we are battling the enemy. The Lord is my strength and my song. This comes from the verse in Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And also Exodus 15:2, which indicates, the Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will glorify Him. My Father is God, and I will exalt Him. Amen. Abba Father, in truth, we honestly must admit that at times we are fearful and we are alone without Your grace, without Your guiding hand of protection upon us. We engage in a battle, in battles that are intended to steal, kill, and to destroy our faith. Yet spiritually, as we participate in these tests and trials, it is your purpose for us to be strengthened, Abba. As the enemy seeks out to destroy us and our holy faith, the seal of our salvation in each of these trials, we bring you glory and honor through each victory. So strengthen us, Father. Empower us with a spirit of boldness and confidence which is found in you alone. Teach us also gentleness and humility, for your power is demonstrated in our weakness. With gentleness, Lord, may we continually seek out your wisdom and direction. Help us to decide when to move from gentleness to firmness within our meekness. Abba, this is where weakness becomes meekness, as you fortify us with your power to overcome. Lord, this truly is strength under control. May we always live in humility, positioning ourselves low before you, Father. May we guard our hearts from pride. Lord, may we truly seek to love others as you love us. Teach us how to love ourselves in order that we might truly love others. Heavenly Father, may we understand that we engage a real enemy whose desire is to abolish your kingdom on earth. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against every tangible and powerful spiritual force. Awaken us to our potential in you, Abba. Breathe your life, your Ruach, into us today. For you are our strength, our fortress. You are our strong tower in times of need. We also thank you for our Yeshua, our salvation, who became the sacrificial offering and the hope of our redemption. Lead us now closer to you and to your safe pastures as you open our spiritual eyes to that which is around us. There will be times we will walk through the valley of death and suffering, yet we will not fear, for you are with us. Comfort us when we are low in spirit. Be the lifter of our heads, Abba. Thank you for the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, even when it seems that we are all alone. Father, we thank you that with you, the battle is already won. We trust you more and more each day. Our Abba. Amen. And amen.